Meanwhile, the hypersonic missiles fired by Iran have hit their targets after evading Israel's air defense systems. Foreign Minister Amir Abdullahian tells his German counterpart that Iran will promptly and massively reciprocate any Israeli military action against its interests in the region. And Israeli ethnic cleansing in Gaza has claimed close to 34,000 Palestinian lives, 75% of them women and children. And welcome live from Tehran. You've tuned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran's recent response to the Israeli attack on its Syrian embassy was the Islamic Republic's first direct targeting of the Israeli-occupied territories using advanced hypersonic missiles. In our news review program, we have discussed the impacts of such an unprecedented strike, exploring how it might compel Israel to reassess its aggressive stance, especially with regards to Gaza.
It's time now for the news review of this bulletin. All hypersonic missiles fired by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps have hit their designated targets in Israel, marking the first time that Iran employs such weapons against real targets. The Israeli regime and its supporters failed to intercept any of the hypersonic missiles fired by Iran. These missiles were fired alongside drones, other ballistic and cruise missiles during the retaliatory operation against Israel. Iran is one of the few countries that possesses the technology to produce hypersonic missiles. These missiles can travel at stunning speeds and hit their targets with great precision. Iran's hypersonic missiles are highly maneuverable, enabling them to have an unpredictable flight path in order to confuse enemies' missile shields. The IRGC says tracking Iran's hypersonic missiles is impossible. Saad Nimr is a professor of political science at Birzeit University who joins us from occupied Ramallah. We have Hekimet Sakhayabiria, who's an academic and political analyst, joining us from Tehran. Welcome to you both. Saad Nimr, let me first start with you. We're looking at the technical aspect of Iran's military capacity, where the hypersonic missiles is one of them. But let's look at the bigger picture as to the impact that this has had, the first time from Iranian territory that the Israel regime was targeted, and maybe the first time that the Israel regime has felt an onslaught of this scale. In terms of the impact that's going to have on the plight of Palestinians in particular, do you think that this may force the regime to recalculate the way that it approaches the issue of Palestine, given the genocidal aggression that it's exercising right now?
If we are talking on the strategical point issue, it will be a little bit long time, but definitely it's helping a lot in the overall problem in Palestine. It's now it's sitting, Iran is sitting now a new formula for the engagement with the Zionist movement and the Zionist regime. For the Palestinians, definitely that was very good, and they were very happy with what happened the day before yesterday. But at the same time, as we say, the impact or the effect of this strike, it will come gradually and later on rather than sooner. Sooner, it was a hit for a target which was picked carefully by the Iranian leadership, and it was hit and the decoy of lots of drones and other missiles. It was just, you know, to confuse the enemy while the other missiles are hitting the base. Now that was a great successful from our point of view. Now how that will affect the Palestinians in the long run? First of all, we know that the Israelis knew now or know that they are not going to target Iran in any moment, and that might escalate the whole situation into a regional war that they could not not tolerate can deal with it. The Americans, on the other hand, who are now convincing and pressurizing Israel not to retaliate, are going to pressurize them to finish the deal, to hand over the Palestinian prisoners for the Israeli prisoners who are captive by the Palestinian resistance.
Well, Ms. Hakimeh, if we want to take a look at the whole scenario here, this is something that is considered to be a very measured response from the Iranian side, and many don't look at it or understand that was the case, because on one hand you have Iran that actually forewarned from days ago that it was going to conduct a retaliatory attack, and it went ahead and did that anyways. And it did that with a combination of different types of items that it has in its military weaponry arsenal, which included these hypersonic missiles, which hit their targets. And that's another aspect of this, that it sent the message where it can hit targets with pinpoint accuracy. Mm-hmm. How does that change the equation militarily in the region against the Israeli regime and for Iran, and the message is sent to the regional countries at the same time?
Yes, it is one thing for military analysts and generals to talk about the idea that Iran has reached overmatch, something that was talked about in a New Yorker article by General McKenzie, CENTCOM leader, previous CENTCOM leader, United States official, that he said that Iran has reached the capability, a sort of capability that it is very difficult for the United States or any other power to basically control it militarily, let alone to defeat it militarily. But that it is one thing to talk about it, and it is another thing to see it happen and actually be realized. So this is what we are witnessing, that we are seeing the very complex military power that Iran has been able to build over the years, and beside that, we are witnessing the military, the strategic military thinking of the IRGC that was able to carry out this complex operation and get through with it successfully. So it is very important. A very important thing that we are witnessing right now. It is going to change the calculations of the players on the ground, of course, including the United States and Israeli regime. I hope that this is going to be something that is going to work towards bringing about more stability to the region. Before what happened 2 nights ago, the Israeli regime looked at the Palestinian people and, of course, any other target that it had in its mind as defenseless populations. In the case of the Palestinian people, the Israeli regime looks at it as a defenseless indigenous population that has to be either controlled or eliminated in order for the Israeli settler colonialist machine to work and move forward. But now I think they have to look at things differently, and they have to see the reality on the ground, which is that not only aren't these people defenseless in terms of world public opinion, that because of the very awakening that we are seeing in terms of the public opinion being on the side of the Palestinian people, being against the genocidal actions of the Israeli regime, but also we are witnessing that there is a real power on the ground that is going to take action whenever it is necessary, with precision, and is ready to carry out even more stronger action if the Israeli regime makes a wrong decision in retaliation.
All right, thank you very much. Let me thank our guests there from Ramallah, Saad Nimr, Professor of Political Science at Brzezet University, and Hakimeh Salih Birya, Academic and Political Analyst. Thank you to you both. With that, we come to an end for this news review.
Well, Tehran has warned that the Islamic Republic will respond immediately and massively to any military action by the Zionist regime against its interests in the region. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahi, speaking to his German counterpart, criticized Berlin for condemning Iran's punitive action against the Israeli regime. He called on the German government to concentrate on stopping the genocide in Gaza and restoring peace and stability to the region instead of condemning Iran's legitimate actions. Amir Abdullahian added that Iran precisely targeted the airbase that Israel used to attack the Iranian consular section in Damascus. In another conversation with his Russian counterpart, Amir Abdullahian stated that Iran's reprisal operation was aimed at deterring, punishing, and warning the Zionist regime. He also praised Russia's positive attempts to create peace in the region. For his part, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said that Moscow believes that Iran's military action against Israel was based on a legitimate and restrained response. Well, Tehran says, stage by stage, Iran will give stronger responses in order to deter and punish any aggressor who might cross its red lines.
Iran does not seek escalation of tension in the region. Iran stresses again that it is committed to the goals and aspirations as per the United Nations Charter and international law regarding passing the red lines of Iran. In any stage, Iran will stand stronger than the previous stage in order to create deterrence and to punish the aggressor, the violator, or any illogical and illegal move. Iran will take action. So I should highlight again that Iran's action was necessary and proportionate, and it hit military targets.
Khamenei said Iran's action was completely legitimate and in accordance with the United Nations Charter. He said the operation was carried out after diplomatic ultimatums were ignored by Israel's allies. He added that Western countries should appreciate Iran for its responsible behavior and restraint towards Israel. The spokesman also said the inaction of the UN Security Council and irresponsible behavior of the U.S., U.K., and France forced Iran to take action to defend its security and national interests. More death and destruction have been reported as the Israeli regime continues to pound the Gaza Strip with airstrikes and artillery. In the latest massacre, Israeli warplanes hit the al-Nusrat refugee camp in central Gaza, leaving several people dead. Also, the granddaughter of the Hamas resistance movement leader has succumbed to her injuries. Last week, regime's warplanes hit a vehicle carrying the Hamas chief's sons and grandchildren in the Al-Shati refugee camp in northern Gaza. Three of his sons and four of his grandchildren were among those killed. According to Gaza's health ministry, 68 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli strikes in a matter of 24 hours since the start of the Israeli genocidal war on Gaza. Nearly 34,000 Palestinians have been killed, 75% of them women and children. The casualty figures are likely to be much higher, with thousands still being buried under the debris. At least one more Palestinian has been killed as the Israeli occupying forces launch another deadly incursion into the northern West Bank city of Nablus. Regime's raids in the West Bank have intensified since the genocidal war in the Gaza Strip began. For more details, we were joined earlier by our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Candide.
Clashes taking place between resistance groups and the Israeli forces, and at the end of the day, unfortunately, the Israeli forces succeeded to detain a Palestinian. They claim that he's a wanted Palestinian from the residential building. During the military raid, of course, the Israeli soldiers opened fire at Palestinians. There we are speaking about a military raid to an overcrowded area in daytime, and the Israelis opened fire at Palestinians.
they wounded two Palestinians. We are receiving now that one of those Palestinians was shot and killed, 17-year-old Palestinian Umar, Palestinian 17-year-old Yazan Muhammad Ishtayi from the village of Salem, and he is a high school student studying in Nablus, was shot and killed. This means that the number of Palestinians who had been killed by the Israeli forces today rises to 466. In addition to this military operation, the Israeli military claimed that a girl arrived at the military checkpoint of Deir Sharaf with Nablus, and it's at the entrance to the village of Deir Sharaf. They claimed that she had a knife and she tried to stab Israeli soldiers. They opened fire at her and arrested her.
Well, tensions have been flaring between Israel and Hezbollah across Lebanon's southern border since the beginning of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. And in the latest development, the resistance group detonated explosive devices targeting Israeli soldiers who were trying to cross into Lebanese territory. Our correspondent, Mariam Saleh, brings us the details.
Well, the most significant development is the incident that occurred near the border. Of course, the Israelis had been pondering on this event for long hours, actually. They were saying that there was an unknown explosion that took place and blew up right on the border with Lebanon, and that an elite force of the Golani group was targeted. They did not know, of course, any details, and they were surprised, and there were even some speculations that it could have been one of the cluster bombs that were thrown usually by the Israelis. However, they do have the maps, and they do know where they have planted their own bombs. So then it was the statement of Hezbollah's resistance that actually clarified the situation. And this proves to us that Hezbollah has been very meticulous when it comes to observing the border, clearly verifying any sort of movement, making sure that they know all the whereabouts of the Israelis. We do know also from sources that the resistance has been not only monitoring that point, that specific spot in all the border. We know that there are fighters that are observing the entire border. Now, that place specifically, Hezbollah said that they had been observing and knew from previous times that these groups have been planning and attempting to infiltrate the border, going back and forth to that area. And so with that speculation in mind from Hezbollah's resistance, they planted bombs in that area.
And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
As the Zionist regime's invasion of Gaza enters its 6th month, the impact on Palestinian children has been devastating. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, UN agencies report that, following the Zionist regime's invasion of Gaza, at least 17,000 Palestinian children have been orphaned or separated from relatives, and one in six children under the age of two are acutely malnourished. The health ministry in Gaza reported that 23 children died from malnutrition and dehydration in recent weeks. At least 32,000 people killed in Gaza, over 13,000 are children. The UN has warned that nearly 580,000 Palestinians, a quarter of Gaza's population, are one step away from famine. There are many such horrible recollections. The psychological trauma rooted in the ravages of war are scars that last a lifetime for children. The Zionist regime continues to block humanitarian aid from reaching Palestinians in Gaza and has attacked Palestinians attempting to receive aid. The last day of February witnessed Israeli regime forces massacring over 100 unarmed Palestinians, queuing for flour and humanitarian assistance. 3 days later, the Zionist regime killed 9 Palestinian civilians in line for flour in 2 separate attacks. Having already vetoed 3 UN Security Council resolutions for a ceasefire, the Biden administration also blocked a statement that condemned the flour bag massacre, as it did not have all the facts yet on the ground. Even though Washington has supplied the Zionist regime military with massive quantities of munitions and political cover, it has consistently claimed that it is unable to influence Israeli regime policy. Instead, in crates killed 5 people, including 2 children, when a parachute or parachutes failed to open. Biden's proposed temporary port will take as disease and malnourishment grow. Meanwhile, the child killer regime of Israel has continued its campaign and is employing American weapons. As the first aid drops were delivered, an Israeli drone strike targeted Palestinians huddling in tents outside Rafah's Emirati hospital. At least 11 civilians, including children and 2 health workers, were killed, and at least 50 people were injured. For 5 months, the Biden administration has defended Israel's actions and offered only muted criticism. Washington has remained steadfast in its support, despite the overwhelming evidence of war crimes, including the determination by the International Court of Justice of a genocide. Spokespersons for the White House, State Department, and National Security Council, as well as President Biden and Secretary of State Antony Blinken, have repeatedly dismissed or diminished reports by the United Nations, journalists, and humanitarian organizations of the humanitarian catastrophe that has been live-streamed to a horrified global audience. Even after the flour bag massacre, NSC spokesman John Kirby insisted that Israel has tried to help with the delivery of humanitarian assistance, yet a handful of Israeli protesters have been successful in blocking aid trucks from entering Gaza. The carnival-like atmosphere of these Israeli protesters at the border crossing has occurred in full view of international media as well as the Zionist regime's military. The child killer regime of Israel has also prevented basic necessities from entering Gaza and contributed to the pain and suffering of Palestinian children. CNN has reported that maternity kits, sleeping bags, and equipments have been barred from entering Gaza. Anesthetics, oxygen cylinders, and crutches are also on the list of rejected items. the shocking scenes of children undergoing surgical procedures and amputations without anesthesia have now become routine, as has the acronym WCNSF for Wounded Child with No Surviving Family. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, 6 November, warning that Gaza was becoming a graveyard for children, has been realized. Hent Rajab, a 6-year-old girl, who called begging for help after the Zionist regime troops targeted the car in which she and her family were traveling, was killed after a long wait along with the paramedics who went to save her. Infants like 45-day-old Mahmoud Fatou, who died due to severe dehydration and malnutrition, or Ahmad, a child who was rescued after 9 days under the rubble, a skeleton, or Talin, 10, who recognized her mother's body by the hair. And there are countless stories of mothers who held their children in arms when they took their last breath. And this is only a partial telling. There are thousands of others whose stories we don't know. With thousands still buried under the rubble, the stories of many of the dead children may never be told. Yet the Biden administration repeatedly insists it needs more evidence before it can condemn or criticize the Zionist regime's actions, standards it has not applied to Palestinians or UN agencies or the ICJ. Children in Gaza have suffered the loss of their closest family members, in many cases their parents, siblings, grandparents, and other relatives. Their homes and schools have been destroyed, their neighbors killed or displaced, their books and toys have been lost, their pets have been killed, their favorite park has been razed. Under constant bombardment, the Palestinian children are still grappling with the greatest challenges of siege, destruction, displacement, and starvation. These challenges will only increase in the weeks and months after the fighting ends, and the children will never forgive the silence and complicity of Western regimes who supported the Zionist regime's actions.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We were currently focusing on the 185th sermon. Rather, very few parts of the 185th sermon where Imam Ali alayhi salam explains an important point with regards to one of the factors that can be detrimental towards the overall spiritual and you can say the overall spiritual, physical, and you can say human based perfection of the society. This is something that is crucial, and Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions, for example, he says, أَلَا فَتَوَقَّعُوا مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ إِدْبَارِ أُمُورِكُمْ, that certainly be prepared or expect your issues not to work out, rather to go in the opposite direction. ذَاكَ حَيْثُ تَكُونُ ضَرْبَةُ السَّيْفِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أَهْوَنُ مِنَ الدِّرْهَمِ مِنْ حِلِّهِ, that is when, that will be happen when a person finds it more easy to fight with the sword with his believer than to earn some halal money. And then he goes on to explain that this is when a person gets drunk with blessings. Inshallah, we shall develop on this discussion in the coming segment.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam here mentions a very important point, and he says that a time will come in the society, if the society is not careful, and that is a time where things will not work out, they will be going towards the opposite direction. Things like, for example, whatever they try to materialize as their aims and goals, and to perform and execute their tasks so that they can achieve the goals that they want, but they will see that this is not happening, and rather they realize that things are backtracking. Why is that? Imam Ali alayhi salam says then, ذَاكَ حَيْثُ تَسْكُرُونَ مِنْ غَيْرِ شَرَابِ, this is when you will be getting drunk, but not with alcohol, or not with these beverages that have got alcohol, and you know, like wine and all of these things. No, not with that. بَلْ مِنَ النِّعْمَةِ وَالنَّعِيمِ, but due to blessings. Blessings will cause a person to become drunk, and this is something that that societies face. Now, getting drunk with blessings, what does it mean? We will come to that. But more importantly here, let us analyze the situation that was there in the society at that time. And that situation was that this community was now becoming rich, was affluent. And it was not like before, where the community was very poor. The Muslim Ummah at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffered from economic difficulty for quite a long time, until the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set up those economic structures that were necessary for the progress of the society. But before that, when it was still building up, we noticed that the community was suffering a lot economically. But this was not the case at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where now the economy was strong and people were wealthy. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin
wa ali Muhammad. Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
Now, coming back to our discussion, we said that the reason why a community may face a situation whereby the things are not working out, goals are not being achieved, and rather things are going in the opposite direction. Why would that happen? One of the reasons that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions is that when a community begins to become drunk with blessings. Now, we said that the society at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam was a society that had wealth. But then these blessings, physical, sometimes also spiritual blessings, inclusive. When we talk about spiritual blessings, we mean people see that everywhere there are opportunities to learn knowledge, Islamic knowledge. The opportunities are open and the doors are open. People are making use of them. But because of the multiplicity of all of these different types of blessings that a person is having, he kind of takes them for granted sometimes. That could also mean, when you talk about spiritual blessings, that people take these blessings for granted, and therefore these blessings are not being used in the direction that they are supposed to be used. They are not being taken advantage of in the right way. And here, of course, but most importantly and most predominantly, what is being referred to are those physical and material types of blessings. And these can lead to two main problems that a society can face, and those problems, inshallah, we shall discuss about them in the coming session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
Shortly before midnight on Sunday, April 14th, Iran launched a swarm of suicide drones and missiles at the occupied Palestinian territories in response to the Zionist regime's cowardly strike on Iran's consulate in Damascus on April 1st. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, shortly before midnight on Sunday, April 14th, Iran launched a swarm of suicide drones and missiles at the occupied Palestinian territories in response to the Zionist regime's cowardly strike on Iran's consulate in Damascus on April 1st. The flock of drones could be heard buzzing over the Iraqi airspace, a signature sound that many have attributed to the extremely effective and lethal Shahed drone family. Shortly after the first wave, another wave was launched approximately 30 minutes later. Islamic Revolution Guards Corps IRGC officials in a statement confirmed what they called Operation True Promise, living up to their promise of definitive revenge against the apartheid regime. According to the IRGC, Operation True Promise will be conducted in multiple stages until the requirements for the retaliation to be complete are made. Iran's Defense Minister Mohammad Reza Ashtiani also cautioned countries in the region against opening their airspace or soil to the Zionist regime for attacks against Iran, warning of a decisive response. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had in his Eid al-Fitr sermon vowed to punish the Zionist regime for the mistake of targeting an Iranian diplomatic facility. He made a similar warning a day after the attack was carried out earlier this month, saying the Zionist regime would be punished. He doesn't beat around the bush. Since then, the Zionist regime has been in a state of paralysis, with its settlers living between false alarms and stocking up on supplies like gas, food and water. Flights were cancelled and the Zionist regime's economy suffered a tremendous shock at a time when its economy was already struggling. Importantly, many countries in the region reportedly refused to allow their territory to be used by the U.S. as a launchpad for attacks against the Islamic Republic, showing changing regional dynamics. In the past few days, the phone of Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian kept buzzing, with several Western officials pleading for Iran to stand down and exercise restraint. However, the decision for retaliation was solidified the minute the Israeli missile dropped in Damascus. The Zionist regime had to pay for its foolhardiness. The Zionists have made the gravest miscalculation in their disgraceful lives. There was no strategic objective to be achieved from striking the Iranian consulate, murdering several IRGC officers on the anniversary of Imam Ali's martyrdom. The United States, the primary backer of the Zionist regime, has been terrified of a regional war, as they have already surrendered militarily to Yemen, pleading with Ansarullah for a diplomatic solution. The Zionist regime was banking on U.S. support to deter Iranian retaliation. They were wrong. Zionist soldier vacations were cancelled ahead of the attack, and all reservists were ordered to report for duty. Israeli regime forces issued warnings to settlers to avoid large gatherings while remaining close to shelters. Meanwhile, Israeli officials pleaded with their allies to do anything to stop Iran. But the Islamic Republic of Iran was not going to back down. Despite warnings from the U.S., mere hours before the launch of the drone and missile swarm, the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps seized an Israeli-linked ship in the Strait of Hormuz, prompting the U.S. to go into full alert in the region. This can likely be interpreted as a message to U.S. officials that Iran will attack ships in the Strait of Hormuz, which controls 20-30% of the world's oil flow. If the U.S. gets involved and tries to prevent Iran's retaliation or meddles in any way, further destabilizing the Tel Aviv regime is a series of virtual attacks, disabling Israeli energy grids and air defense systems, all the while Iraq's Kataib Hezbollah, Yemen's Ansarullah, and Lebanon's Hezbollah launch their own series of drone and rocket attacks, exhausting Israeli military systems. Syrian air defenses are on high alert for Zionist planes only. These are just forces outside of occupied Palestine. There is, of course, the Palestinian resistance both in Gaza and in the occupied West Bank actively confronting the Zionist regime on multiple fronts. The axis of resistance, created through the careful planning and coordination of the late anti-terror linchpin General Qasem Soleimani, is demonstrating for the first time a coordinated front against the Israeli occupation. Israeli regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been moved to a bunker in occupied Al-Quds, while typical weekend protests against him in Tel Aviv were dispersed in anticipation of the Iranian strike. Weekend travel for U.S. President Joe Biden was cancelled for him to meet with his national security team and plan ways to defend proxy entity in Tel Aviv. The Iranian retaliation is within the scope of international law, which the Zionist regime has defied time and time again. An attack on a consulate is a red line that any country would be able to respond to through military means. It is also a flagrant violation of the Vienna Convention, which the Zionist regime adheres to. The hypocrisy of Western regimes in dissuading Iran to not respond shows that they do not abide by their own rules-based order. If this were an attack on any Western regime, they would have responded with a disproportionate force. Iran's response is proportional and just, and comes after much patience in dealing with the rogue regime. Entire Israeli regime bases have been cleared in preparation for the Iranian retaliation. Shahed drones have pierced into the Israeli airspace and reached Tel Aviv, where Israeli jets are attempting to shoot them down. It is important to note that Shahed drones are harder to shoot down with regular air defense systems due to their low heat signature. The drones themselves are more than likely cannon fodder to shock the Zionist entity and keep them occupied, while Iranian cruise missiles follow shortly behind. Videos of settlers panicking as explosions ring across the Tel Aviv skyline are circulating online. Iran has shown that it is more than capable of shocking the Zionist entity, with Zionist forces reporting that they underestimated the Iranian response. As leader of the Islamic Revolution has said many times, the days of hit and run are over. We are at a turning point in history where the Zionist entity is met with the very reality of their extinction. Celebrations are erupting outside Al-Aqsa Mosque and across the occupied West Bank. There were even fireworks at the iconic Milad Tower in Tehran after the attacks. The morale of the Islamic world is being restored as Iran acts as the harbinger of regional stability. This is the first hour alone on April 14, 2024. Operation True Promise is far from over, but the die is cast. As Iranian drones and missiles pierce the skies of Tel Aviv and the rest of the occupied Palestine, for the first time in nearly 7 months, no Israeli warplanes fly over Gaza.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
كتاب الله. Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A very beautiful hadith makes our path clear, very enlightened in the end of time when people are going to face a lot of trials, are going to leave the field, and they're not going to remain true Muslim, true mu'min. But there are people who are going to save their faith. Who are going to save their faith? For what? Because they were very strong. They were in relationship with Ahlul Bayt. They really loved Ahlul Bayt. They followed Ahlul Bayt. Those people are going to protect their faith, their iman, and will stay with Ahlul Bayt and will stay, inshallah, with the Quran, Rasul, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who couldn't stand with Imam, couldn't understand their Imam, definitely they are not going to understand and know their Nabi truly, their book truly, and their God truly. So ma'rifat of Imam is a lead towards ma'rifat of Rasulullah and ma'rifat of Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this beautiful hadith, which is narrated from Sayyidu al-Shuhada Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, عليه الصلاة والسلام says, Ravi says, and the narrator says, عن الحسين بن علي قال قال رسول الله. Imam Hussein said that Rasulullah said, ألزموا مودتنا أهل البيت. Stay strong with the love of أهل البيت. My brother and sisters, مودت is something higher than محبت. محبت is simply love. I love you. Make sure you have محبت of lots of things. You love your home, you love your wife, you love your husband, you love your children, you love your you love lots of things, but those things doesn't love you. So this type of love is not called mawaddat. Mawaddat, when you love something and you're ready to sacrifice your life, that is called mawaddat. That's like a truly love. Love in that you're ready to sacrifice your life, your wealth, your most precious things. That is called mawaddat. So Imam Rasulullah said, "Alzamu mawaddatana ahlul bayt." Stay strong with the mawaddat of our ahlul bayt. Mawaddat means always be ready to do sacrifice for my ahlul bayt. Love my ahlul bayt and stay with them and live and die with them. This is called mawaddah. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ يُحِبُّنَا دَخَلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Those who are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of Qiyamah and they love us in the day of judgment, those who are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beside that they love Ahlul Bayt, only they are going to enter in the paradise. Not simply with the condition بِشَفَاعَتِنَا, because we all have shortcomings in our life, and Ahlul Bayt will do the shafa'at. They will talk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will grab the points and they will clean our account, inshallah. And then Rasulullah said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدَهِ لَا يَنْتَفِعُ عَبْدٌ بِعَمَلِهِ إِلَّا بِمَعْرِفَتَنَا. If you don't have a ma'rifat, your deeds, your actions are not going to be sufficient for your success. No, none of your deeds are sufficient for your success. If you want to receive, you want to achieve salvation, success in the day of Qiyamah, you have to have ma'rifat of us.